Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Your time's up by the touchdown. I'm high stepping for the touchdown. I stay repping for the slums where the young bucks started loaded up just to bust rounds.
All right, and we are live. Hello, people. It's been a while. I'm glad to be here. Glad to be here with these esteemed gentlemen and John Ha. All right. And so first and foremost, guys, welcome to the AFC South Fan Battle Podcast, brought to you by Prize Picks. Also check us out on the Fan Battle Sports Network on Facebook, Twitter. I'm pretty sure there's not a Snapchat yet, but I'm pretty sure we're getting there, wherever it may be. But you know, before we go any further,
TikTok,
there you go. Go on TikTok, and John will be running that page. I'm not sure if TikTok is allowed in Utah, but they need to pass a law to make it. All right, so let's just go through everybody that's here with us today. And, you know, I'm not going to go in any particular order, but just because I'm going to go, you know, see who's the reddest right now. Justin Gonzalez, representing the Jaguars.
The reddest.
I definitely thought you were going to lead in. Well, at the bottom of the league, let's start there. Hello, I'm here.
And thank you for your enthusiasm.
You're welcome.
Representing the Colts, we have with us Harish Nukala, everybody.
Just an FYI, my team does not have a $52 million dead cap hit hanging over their head.
Oh, well, that's interesting. I knew that, but still interesting. All right, then we have with us the man who is the number one fan of Jack Easterby. We have with us Matt Briggs, everybody.
Hello. How are you?
And last but not least, the man coming to us from the far west where they've just now decided not to outlaw internet. We have with us John Ha, everybody.
Yo, hello. I recorded the Titans game. I haven't quite finished it. Don't spoil it. I feel pretty good. We just tied it up, so I have a pretty good feeling about it.
I love it. So, you know what? This was a pretty interesting divisional weekend. Just want to go ahead and get to a couple comments from Pat Storm. We have DJ Reader is better than Prince Henry. Ooh. Oh, that is a shot. And then we have anonymous Facebook user, hashtag DTWD. Not sure what that means. It sounds like something means, you need to fix door hinges.
Actually means do well till we die.
Okay, no, that's fine. That's fine. We can go with the door hinge thing. That's fine. <Don't worry. laughs> So, yeah. So, not really much to talk about from the rest of the the AFC South, since only one team was in it this weekend. But, John, from what you saw this weekend, how'd the Titans do from what you saw thus far?
I told you, man. They're a slow start, but we came back. It's going great. We just got the ball. About 2 minutes left. I think we're going to pull this off. It's going to be great. Tannehill got his bad picks out of the way. He's set. We're good. He's calmed down. He's ready. They've made adjustments. There's not going to be any mistakes from here on out. Here we go. Let's do it.
Okay. Would you like for me to spoil it for you, or would you like somebody else? Because, I mean, I could definitely go ahead and let you know how that turns out.
Don't spoil it for me. What are you talking about? I told you, don't ruin it for me.
I have a feeling Tannehill's going to throw a pick in his
last game. Oh, no. He wouldn't do that. Tannehill would never throw into triple coverage. No, he would never do that.
How about
Wait, how did coverage? You know he did that?
I told you he would never do that.
I don't know.
Whoops.
I don't know if this is true or not, but I've seen a stat that said Tannehill threw an interception in his first drive, the drive going into halftime, and his last possession of the whole game.
So here's the thing, like
that's gotta be fake.
The emotions are raw for the team or whatever. And Vrabel said in his post game interview, he says there's no loss that's one person's fault. But in this case, I think we can all agree this was one person's fault. I mean, I'm one of the biggest apologists for Tannehill out there. I've never demanded him to be like, you know, a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen, but I don't make stupid picks. And that's been a story of him this year. He's made a lot of dumb picks this season. And this was the perfect culmination of that. Like, there's three interceptions that he threw. The first pass throws a pick that leads to a field goal. We lost by three. He throws an interception at the goal line at the end of the first half. That cost us points. We lost by three. And guess what? He threw an interception on the last possession of the game with us tied, and we lost by three. Some would say that you should probably go for two, or you shouldn't have gone for two. I don't really nitpick with that one. I agree that you should have not gone for two, but I think that even when that failed, it's still on Tannehill. Like, I don't like it. It's all his fault. I know we didn't get the fourth down, whatever it is. This was all Tannehill. He has to eat that.
So I'm going to ask you only because I don't want to put this solely on Tannehill. We heard a lot about Derrick Henry coming back, and he was non-existent. I mean, you know, we hear about everything. I think the only unit that you saw that really showed out, well, not unit, but the only person or persons was, you know, the D-line, you know, that front seven getting 9 sacks.
Well, I'm on record throughout the season saying, like, yes, don't get excited about Derrick Henry. He's not going to come back. And even if he does come back, he won't be back because he's the kind of running back that it's a war of attrition. He has to build into it. And people say, well, he's coming in fresh. That's not been Derrick Henry's style. He's always been more efficient later in the season after he's had an entire time to build up and wear people down. He's always been that way. People say he's got fresh legs. He doesn't have fresh legs. He's been rehabbing. That doesn't make you fresh. That is a strain. I don't know how many of you guys have done physical therapy. That is a strain, and it sucks. I think that Henry was used as efficiently as you could have hoped for. Foreman really filled in for him. I think if you combine the two, it was an efficient day for the running game. I don't have a problem with that. The defense was fantastic, but I will – and again, in true fashion of me being negative, it was a matchup nightmare for the Cincinnati offensive line. We had such a really good pass rush all year, and their offensive line was – pretty rough. They gave up the most sacks. So I love what we did on defense, but that was a matchup nightmare where we could take advantage of, and we did.
Okay. And
and I know you had a question, and I probably didn't answer it.
No. You know what? These are all the answers. See, because the thing is, no matter what, John, I appreciate you as a Titans fan because, you know, you're not going to answer back with, okay, tighten up. What did the Colts do? It's just like, but that's not answering the question as to what the hell happened in the game. Like, that has nothing to do with anything. But you know what? Before
I like to be as objective as possible.
Okay. Objectivity is key. So now, after the game, because, you know, people are calling for Ryan Tannehill.
Well, I haven't finished it yet.
Well, go ahead. Finish. Please, go ahead.
All right, go ahead. What's your question?
But no, actually, I was going to go to a couple comments because Gabriel Ruiz said football is stupid and Vrabel won't say it, but he knows he's not blind.
He's talking about he wouldn't throw Tannehill under the bus. I get, yes, obviously you have to say things in public, but yes, I would have liked to have seen Tannehill own this one a little bit more.
Yeah. What did Tannehill even say after the game?
Nothing.
Oh, okay, cool. He Carson Wentz'd it. Oh, perfect.
Hey, I just want to say, only because Gabriel said Vrabel won't say it, but he knows. Gabriel, if you're watching, put an asterisk on that that one seed, since you put an asterisk on Jonathan Taylor all season.
But I would like to say this. I would like to clear this up here. Okay. We were not the worst one seed in history. The 2008 Titans were.
Oh, okay. At least you say it's the same franchise. Jesus.
No, they're going to ban you.
This was not the worst one seed in history. That 08 Titans.
Wait, was that 08 Titans team the Vince Young Titans team?
That was the Kerry Collins Titans team.
Jesus Christ. Never mind. You actually might be right.
Yeah.
I bet you all the Titans fans that were listening to this, he was like, oh, some optimism.
Here's the thing, like, Justin. No, Titans fans listening to this. I'm not worried about saying whatever I'm saying because you know they're not around. How many people are actually listening to this? This is an AFC South-centric podcast that we're performing after the divisional round where there are no participants in the game anymore. No one's listening. We're just talking to ourselves. There's five people listening right now. Oh. Hello.
You know, look.
Justin, Harish, Chris, Matt. Hello. Hey,
You're going full scorched earth, okay?
You know there's Colts fans, there's Texans fans, there's Jaguars fans.
Tesmer would have been lightening up the comment section by now.
You know they're listening because all year long we had to listen to Titan fans just boast about how they're the number one seed.
You know, this is an easy solution. Just don't be on social media like me, and you don't have to listen to those dumbasses. like me, the dumbasses like me.
John, you were on a roll until you said that, right? Until you said don't be on social media, you're on a roll.
Yeah, it's the easiest way to not have to listen to Titans fans is
don't be around them. In Utah, it is easy because you're banned, right? Like, we don't have the privilege of being banned from social media.
I'm the only Titans fan west of the Mississippi, so I'm like...
You got Terry Doty up here in Kansas.
Oh, that's true. Good old Kansas is out there, too.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of Titans fans, surprisingly.
So, but, not anymore. So they're gone.
So, John, after the game, you know that the Titans fan base had a full-blown meltdown. They wanted to get rid of Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I'm still hungover.
Yeah, they said Foreman had a much better day than Derrick Henry. They should trade Henry to get more assets.
There's some great stuff, man.
There was some material. What do you think, just based on those two comments alone with get rid of Tannehill and trade Henry?
Get rid of Tannehill and trade Henry. Listen, it's too fresh to me to start thinking about what to do next year, but this was the last realistic shot that this team had at making any kind of run, especially given the talent that's with the rest of the AFC. We don't like A.J. Brown is the guy that we're going to have to build a team around, I think. I think Derrick Henry, I love Derrick Henry, but just going off the history of running backs and their durability, I don't know if we can bank on Derrick Henry for the next 3 years. And that's just based off the history of the running back position. It's not him. Everyone always wants to say he's different, he's special. The guy did just break his foot and miss half a season. So he's not, you know, invincible by any means.
Hold on, John. He's different. He's built different.
He's an incredible specimen, but yeah, like I don't know if you can bank on it moving forward. And again, that's just from what you see at the running back position and how they tend to have a 4-year shelf life.
Before we go move on, I'm gonna ask you a question. I know Harissa has asked.
You can ask me too if you like.
I know Harissa has asked people in the group. So was all the offensive.
Did nobody answer because the Titans fans left?
No. Yeah. Well. Yeah. But was all the offensive power? Was all the offensive power Arthur Smith doing last year? And now
I don't hate Todd Downing the way that other people do, and I think your biggest difference between what Todd Downing and Arthur Smith is that Arthur Smith was able to script a game plan better heading into it. If you take a look at our opening drives with Todd Downing, they were always really rough and we didn't really score off of them. Whereas Arthur Smith, we were pretty efficient with those first 15 scripted plays. And where Todd Downing shined was just making adjustments after kind of seeing what he liked. That's why you saw how we were always off to these slow starts. So I don't hate Todd Downing the way that other fans do. I think some people are just – they get – I don't know. I don't think they look at it as closely. I don't know. Maybe I don't. That makes me sound like snarky or like stupid. I don't know.
They're not as smart as you. Okay.
I don't want to say that because I'm stupid as hell. But I think that – but again, I'm okay with Todd Downing. This one, I don't think this is necessarily his fault because you look at that interception, like – everybody swarmed, like he threw into triple coverage. We had a wide open tight end. Now I'm blanking on who it was. It wasn't McCall Pruitt. It was a Firkser. We had a wide open Firkser for a first down on that play, and that's Tannehill's fault. He should have known to check down because I think he just wanted to play hero ball, and that's a poor decision. I don't think that's play calling. And I don't – if Downing can improve on his – on his preparation and knowing how to script things better to start off, I think that's – you're in better shape. But again, I don't know what this team's going to look like. I would be very surprised if we don't actually consider looking at quarterback in the offseason, because there's going to be some potentially heavy names in the free agency. Someone's got their TV on.
Sorry.
there's going to be some big market quarterbacks coming out. I mean, I thought Aaron Rodgers was going to stay in Green Bay, but after this, who knows what he's going to do. And then Russell Wilson probably is going to be looking for their options. And I think that John Robinson is the kind of guy that wants to attack that. And I know that you said that we have all this wasted money. Salary cap is a myth. You can always work around that crap.
Salary cap is a myth.
No.
Dead salary cap is not a myth.
You always work around it. And yeah. I think I would not be surprised if J-Rob tries to maybe look into improving the quarterback position. Just try to maybe salvage whatever we have left of this roster in what we think might be its prime. But I think we've passed its prime in terms of our offense.
What was the Julio Jones deal? Was that a 2-year deal?
I can't even remember at this point. I thought he had one. I thought we only took 1 year, but I don't know. I can't remember.
I believe Julio had 2 years left on his deal, but in order to take on the money, the cap that was supposed to be paid to Tannehill this year, part of it was pushed to a signing bonus, but the majority of that was pushed into those last 2 years. So
he's gonna retire anyways.
Yeah, the dead cap money is going to end up being somewhere upwards of like $50 million. So the problem with that is you could absolutely try to improve the quarterback position, but you're gonna have to basically
Get rid of you gotta dump Julio, you'd probably dump Tannehill. I don't know what they do. I think AJ Brown is the guy that you want to build around, not Derrick Henry.
Yeah, so I mean, it really did seem like the team was more so like, and I hate to use the term, but I mean, in this case, Super Bowl or bust, because I mean, the money moves, everything else that was done, you know, was.
I don't think that was a secret. I think they've been that way like ever since that 2019 run. I think they said, okay, I think we have something. We're going to try to be really aggressive in the moves we make. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney was a bust, but that was an aggressive signing. You know what I mean? They've been doing that for the last 2 years. They've been doing that.
Yeah. It was just that one was a 1-year deal. I think it's just like pushing that money with Tannehill and getting Julio, because you're banking on getting the Julio that was in the Super Bowl as opposed to the Julio who struggled with injury and really was just an 11th body.
Biggest concern is they'll see the last two games, like the Houston game, and actually he kind of showed up against Cincy as well. I worry is that they're going to see that and say, oh, well, that means he's just going to get better, which I think that's probably your ceiling, which isn't worth what you pay.
Okay, and that's fair, and that's fair.
I just don't know. If I could get inside the head of J-Rob, I would. But if my prediction is that they're going to probably look quarterback, I think they probably feel pretty confident what they have defensively. I mean, I think they feel pretty good that Caleb Farley is going to be back, and I think they like what they got out of him. But I don't know. I think offense, they're going to really retool some things.
I'm not trying to extend this part of the segment, and I'm sorry if I do, but – you guys lost by 3 points. It's the hottest team in the NFL right now.
Which we shouldn't have.
About potentially rebuilding after you just went 12-5.
I think the reason is that it's very clearly the reason why we didn't win that game was the quarterback position.
Yeah, but it was also that Derrick Henry couldn't plant his foot at all. Like, you watch that whole game, he fiddled around. the line.
He was basically walking. He was basically walking half the time. It looked
like
the dude looked uncomfortable.
Badly
uncomfortable.
You're not saying anything that's surprising me. I called this weeks ago. I called this like months ago. I said he's not going to be back. Yeah. I don't know why anyone's surprised by that. And I don't think you should expect any different next season from Derrick Henry.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Wow, really?
That's awesome. I mean,
it'll be better, but it's not going to be 2,000-yard Derrick Henry.
Well, it's a good thing you're in Utah because the mob is going to come after
They're
you.
Not listening, Chris. What are you talking about?
I know they're not
They're
listening.
Not here.
Have you ever spoke with your fan base? They don't listen.
It's probably why he's sane.
So here, you know what?
Am I afraid of my fan base? No, because all they do is talk online. That's it. And you know I don't exist online, so who cares?
I mean, you do to a certain extent.
All right, check out my own OnlyFans. Check out my OnlyFans.
It was a field goal. You lost by a field goal, dude.
Okay, Justin.
What I have to say. Yeah,
Justin, you also have to look big picture.
I am. Defense and the balancing act. The defense is making up for your lack of offense.
We win that game. Let's say we win that game. How in the hell would we have beaten Kansas City next week? We have to be able to compete with who are the real contenders in the AFC.
All right. To put it in layman's terms, to make this real simple, right? The Buccaneers lost by a field goal too, and they had injury concerns just like the Titans. Same scenario, right? The Buccaneers aren't going to – if we all think Tom Brady's going to come back, they're not going to surefire sell. We need another quarterback now. They're going to come back in and try to go on.
They got their championship already.
That's irrelevant. We're talking about this year and now.
Well, you said
this year and now is over.
No more this year now.
It's over. I'm
glad Justin brought up the Buccaneers because you said, how will the Titans beat the Chiefs? The same way the Buccaneers did last year. And that's make Patrick Mahomes run. And you can do that with the Titans.
Titans defense can't do that. The Titans defense is going to have to sack Patrick Mahomes initially. He has been wiggling around way too much lately because our secondary can't cover for that long. You have to sack him immediately.
Hey, John. I'm all about shitting on your team because I love it too. But you guys just had 9 sacks in a game.
Right. And you know the Chiefs' offensive line is
and the
not
Chiefs'
not
offensive line is trash. Like, it's not good.
Dude, this is a fan. This is a shit talking podcast. So right now, we're trying to build you and the Titans fan up, so you don't have to rebuild the team next year. You just don't want it. You don't want it, John.
You really, really are going to sit here and tell me that Joe Burrow's elusiveness is comparable to what Patrick Mahomes has been doing the last few weeks?
Well, Gabriel Ruiz already said that you beat the Chiefs this year. Is that correct?
Yeah. Context is everything. Where were the Chiefs at that point in the season?
God, all right, you're gonna play devil's advocate.
Well, obviously. Hold on. Let's turn to the other side of the ball. You're telling me you can't score on that Chiefs defense? Freaking 4th Street, Gabriel, whatever the hell.
I think we could score. Gabriel Davis. We're not gonna win a track meet.
Hold on. Gabriel Davis just had 235 yards and 4 touchdowns.
I think our offense would be able to score it, but are we going to win a track meet? Are we going to do what Josh Allen just did against them? I don't think so.
Well, you don't need to because you have a defensive line that can get pressure on the core. Dude, have you seen the Bills defense? Toss away the number one defense bullshit. That defense is ass trash. Like, it's not the number one defense in the league.
Been saying that.
What I'm it's saying, like, okay,
dude. Do you know why? Hold on. Do you know why the Kansas City Chiefs won that game? Because the number one defense in the league left a Hall of Fame tight end wide open for 10 plays in a row. That's why they lost. It's not because they're.
You heard it here first. You heard it first. The Colts, the Jaguars, and the Texans fan think the Titans are better than the Chiefs. You heard it here first, guys.
No.
You call me delusional. You heard it. Oh, wait. No one's listening. That's right. Is that why you guys are hyping me up? Because you know no one's listening?
No. I want you to understand that bad defense is the reason why the Bills lost that game. And bad defense is the reason why the Chiefs didn't blow the Bills out by 30. Titans defense has something that neither of those defenses have, and that's
what I'm saying is that my concern with going against the Chiefs is that Patrick Mahomes will be able to evade the initial pass rush, and that is when he will tear them apart because our secondary can't cover for that long. The reason why we beat the Chiefs earlier is because we were able to get that. We were able to get it initially, and Crookshanks was able to just jam up Travis Kelce enough so that he couldn't throw it to him. I don't care anymore. Enough. I'm over.
They left him open for 8 plays in a row. They didn't jam him at all. They basically said, hey, go to the ice cream shop. It's right there at that spot. 8 plays in a row. And he literally took him to town.
Go ahead, Justin.
Theoretically speaking, if we're going to speak in theories and unicorns and myths.
Let's talk realistically. Titans, Chiefs, who's winning?
Hold on. I think
realistically, make your predictions. Titans, Chiefs, who's winning that game?
Calm down. Reel it in. This is what I think, that you saw how Josh Allen evaded their pass rush. You know, they didn't stay in their lanes and all that kind of stuff. Ryan Tannehill could have easily done that. I'm not speculating that the Titans could have blown out the Chiefs, but what I am saying is that I don't think it's a full rebuild, and I think that you guys
early, they could have missed that.
Well, no, at the quarterback position, I think at that point it gets close to a full-on rebuild, okay?
What I'm saying is that, like, if I'm getting to that, it started with, if I have to get inside the head of J-Rob, it's that he's an aggressive guy and he might just attack it aggressively because the AFC is a very tough conference right now. And we're going to have to be able to score a crap ton of points, which we are not at that point right now.
Also, you got to realize the Titans offensive line has failed Tannehill tremendously.
Yes, he was sacked a lot.
Right.
Their pass blocking is terrible.
Taylor Lewan is trash when he's not on steroids. Let's be honest. Ever since the steroid accusation, he's been garbage. And Ben Jones been hurt. Your guard, I can't think of his name. He was hurt half the season.
Everybody on that offensive was hurt. Everybody on that team was hurt.
Right.
They've been busting with the boys for 2 years, man. What do you mean?
Right.
No time to get healthy when you're busting.
Will Compton wasn't on the team.
They're trying to build the brand.
No time to stay healthy when you're busting with the boys.
Right.
Yeah.
So here's a.
This is
what I think is going to happen. And you know what? As much as you guys hate to say it, the Colts and the Titans are at the exact same spot.
They're a pretty mirror image of each other, it seems like.
The race to find a potentially upgraded quarterback is on, right?
I think Sam Darnold's going to be available, Harish.
Both teams are going to try to be aggressive to upgrade that quarterback position. If they can't, then they won't. But I think both teams are going to be really aggressive.
It's going to be – well, I guess we're both hard, yeah. I mean, because we're – like Tannehill's like locked in, but I guess Wentz is too, right? It's going to be tough, yeah.
You know, honestly, the Colts could cut Wentz and only take a $17 million cap hit. It's not that big of a deal.
Well, they could trade him and save. I think you save a little.
They could trade him and save 25. They could even restructure his deal and save it 18. Like, there's a lot of things they can do. But that's literally the race, right? If the Colts can upgrade to Wilson or Rodgers or Carr, I think they're right there with any team in the AFC. If the Titans can do the same thing, they're up there with any team in the AFC. I think that's the race at this point.
Or just fix your line and have the same offense you had the last 3 years.
The Colts also need some wide receivers. Dear God, please, Chris Ballard, you motherfucker, get some goddamn receivers. Sorry.
All right. So then with all that being said, before we move on and we go into the other games.
I didn't think I was going to get yelled at for hating on the Titans against you guys. What?
I know. What the hell, dude?
Oh, shit. Build you up. Everybody's literally yelling at you to defend your team. Like, we've reached a fever pitch when that happens. Like
you know who you invited on tonight.
It's like we brought on Morocco, RJ, and Jacoby on the podcast tonight.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. No, let's not. We're going to go to comments now.
They're not around.
User says, Derrick Henry,
I'm the only Titans fan that'll show up.
That's fair.
They're not fair. They lost.
He said Derrick Henry is like a train starts slow, but when he gets going, he moved the hell out the way. All right, whatever. Tannehill is nothing without that new production. Worst number seen in the last 10 years for sure. Ruiz said, did you see what Keith Bullock said about Tannehill? No.
Yep.
What did he say?
He said, get rid of his ass.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that automatically is going
to
happen.
Okay. He said you're always going to have extreme comments in regards to the trade Henry talks. They said Aaron Rodgers is done in Green Bay. If Titans can add another good running back with Derek, then they'll be dangerous.
I mean, they already did with Foreman.
They did.
Todd Downing needs to go. We beat the Chiefs. We can beat the Chiefs. We've proven that twice in a row.
Not twice in a row.
As you know. But you know that.
God damn it, John. Let us read the comments.
I'm correcting the comments. They said we beat them the two times in a row. It's not true.
Yeah, it says Harish, you're reaching. The Bills' defense is solid. No, they're not.
Okay.
The Chiefs scored 20 on the Titans' defense Saturday. End of discussion. We can beat the Chiefs.
We would have played Sunday.
Yeah. And they said,
let me correct the comments again. Conference championships are always on Sunday. Come on, guys. You even watch the games?
Then they said the prop is Todd Downing, guys. And then they said Colts aren't going anywhere. But, of course, you're anonymous, so I can't see. But you sound like somebody who wouldn't come on the podcast.
Well, of course the Colts aren't going anywhere. They can't. They have to stay home.
I mean, this
just like the Titans.
Just like all of us.
Everybody will be at home. But, yeah, but then moving on. So now moving on to the Bills and Chiefs game.
There's something
we pretty much covered it just about. I mean – I don't think
Bills and Chiefs. I mean, we covered this game.
Other than, you know, why not? Why not? It's AFC related. It was a pretty.
It was a great game.
So now, but the thing is, I have a question, and this is for everybody, because now they're talking about changing the overtime rule. I know we touched on it a little bit before we got on here, but changing the overtime rule, is it a knee jerk reaction to just this game, or is it something that we absolutely should be like going 100% for?
Didn't somebody just say I was reaching and saying that the Bills' defense was good? If you're the number one defense in the league, you don't even go to overtime. So this is a stupid conversation.
I have an answer to your question, though.
Go for it.
One, yes, it is a knee-jerk reaction.
Yes.
Of course it is. But guess what? The overtime rules we have right now are a result of a knee-jerk reaction to Brett Favre not being able to touch the ball against the New Orleans Saints in that NFC Championship game in 2009. So it is a knee-jerk reaction. Should it be changed? No, but that doesn't mean it won't, because the rules we have now are from a knee-jerk reaction.
Hold on. Yeah, back the fuck up. Hold on. You mean to tell me you don't have an issue with the rule? I'm not trying to nitpick on you, John. I know it feels that way, and I'm sorry.
That's
but
fine.
Like,
I don't feel the
okay. So fine. Like I don't understand. Like in baseball, if you go into extras, both teams gets a chance on offense. In college, both teams get a chance on offense, right?
Yep.
I don't understand why. And if it's from player safety concerns, shut up. Like you don't NFL, you don't care about that. Like let's be frank, right? You don't care about that. So like
he's asking me the question, Harish. Don't raise your hand. He's asking me the question.
I think right now the rule should be like college, and I know that's going to sound like a lot of redundancies. That's not what people say, but at both sides should get a chance to score. That's going to make the play so much more fun. If you're going to keep the same rules, take out the sudden death part on the first score and just let both teams go at it. Don't do kickoff returns. Don't do any of that shit. Start at the 20-yard line from both sides of the field. Let each team get a possession and let's go into like six overtimes. Like who wouldn't want to see that? That's what this game felt like. It felt like a college game. And that's what's so fun about college bowl games is that wacky stuff like this happens. And that's why people watch Boise State playing Idaho Southern Capital, whatever, in the toilet
bowl. No one watches that.
They do. Well, they do. I mean, people watch it, and they watch it for this kind of stuff. So it's just going to help the ratings. I just don't know why you want to keep the same rule if it's dumb. I mean,
I don't. Yeah. I want to change it back to what it was.
Well, yeah, I think from the NFL perspective.
What was what was your question?
My question was, it's like, I can't believe that, like, everyone's okay with the current rule.
Okay, so here's my point, is that at what point is it going to be enough? Because if we change it, it's just going to end up being to where it feels like it's not enough at that point. It's always going to just get extended and extended and extended. Hold on. All right. I'm sort of old school where it's like, you had 60 minutes to be the top scorer. You have 60 minutes to have the most points. If you can't do it in 60 minutes, we have the rules the way they are. Get it done there. You know what they are. You know how to prep for these sorts of things. If you're the team that loses the coin toss, make sure you know how to scheme your defense. It's the way it goes. I'm sorry, but you had 60 minutes to be in the lead. If after 60 minutes it's tied, best of luck. Get it done. Okay. But you know what? You're not going to get any sympathy from me if you weren't able to have the lead after 60 minutes.
Go ahead.
Also, if you're the number one defense in the league, if you did your job as the number one defense, you would have had a chance.
This is all part of that, like, participation trophy sort of knee-jerk reaction. Yeah. It's like, we want everyone to have a chance. No,
I want everybody to get
your chances. You had four full quarters to win the game. If you can't do it in four quarters,
listen.
Guess what? You better make a stop on defense.
This is the wild because it's one sided. Like, both teams don't get a fair shake at it, and that's
both teams put 11 people out on the field.
To put it in perspective, right? And Chris, I'll let you. Let me get one more question.
Okay. Let's say the Chiefs win that coin toss. They get the ball, right?
Yeah.
Throws a pick six. That's not fair. Sorry, that's not fair. We need to make sure that Patrick Mahomes gets a chance to respond to that.
That's their opportunity to score. If they intercept it, it's over.
When is it ever going to be enough?
That is enough.
So let me put it like this, right? It's like
you say it's enough, but it won't feel that way. After a certain amount of time, it won't feel that way. Everyone will want more.
Jesus. All right, so to put it like here we go, right? Golf, right? Here's a perfect example. If you go into golf and you go into sudden death, is it the first person that gets the ball in the hole who wins? Like, that's what we're doing right now.
I thought you said golf like Jared Goff. I was like, wait, what are you talking about?
That's what I'm saying. It's not a fair shake. In every other sport, when it comes to overtime, each team has an opportunity to win or lose it. Not necessarily to say, oh, this team's going to get the ball, whether they score or not. That just takes the win. I just think that's one-sided and unfair. That's my only point.
It can't be one-sided when both teams field 11 players.
I'm going to be a little bit more objective.
I figure
we want to change the overtime rules.
We don't want the
overtime rules because we had two teams, and I'm with Harish only for the simple fact that we saw how piss poor that Bills defense was at the end of the fourth quarter when you can put away the game. How you let guys get open? They're not contested. They're not making contested catches. They're open, and they have the opportunity to be able to drive down the field and get in field goal range. Now, the thing is, would that be exciting if everybody gets a chance on offense? Yes. Why is it exciting? Because neither one of the defenses are doing anything to make sure that they're stopping the other team. Like that. That's my issue with that. Because the thing is, if you're a solid defense playing against somebody like an offense, because we saw what happens when a solid defense plays against an offense, and that happened in the Super Bowl. They stopped Mahomes completely, and this was the guy who was responsible for having one of the most high-powered offenses the last 3 years.
Did they stop Mahomes, or did the offensive line fail Mahomes?
Does it matter?
Mahomes
was still making the throws. The receivers were dropping the balls. So that's all Mahomes?
The offensive line, so let me tell you, the offensive line was put together over time. When Mahomes first inherited that team from Alex Smith, that offensive line wasn't as good as that, but Mahomes was putting up those numbers as soon as he became the starter, and he didn't have Mitchell Schwartz. And he had Eric Fisher's bum ass.
What happened to both of those guys? They got hurt the week before the Super Bowl.
Yes.
They got hurt. So you're saying that doesn't matter.
But you can argue that Eric Fisher, pretty much anybody was better than Eric Fisher because from a production standpoint, he wasn't that good to begin with.
Eric Fisher was bad before that injury last year.
He played solid enough to be on that O-line because you're not just going to replace an offensive tackle. Look what happened when we tried to replace Anthony Costanzo with who? Eric Fisher.
What was the point I'm making right now
was that if you want to change the overtime rules based on this game alone, then it's a terrible thought. Because most times when you run into somebody who actually plays some type of defense, you're going to get punched in the mouth.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
I mean, we've seen it. We've seen it before. The Bills don't have the number one defense because of that.
Well, that is it's definitely a knee-jerk reaction. I don't think anybody is clamoring for, like, when the Lions and Steelers went to overtime in the regular season, no one was clamoring for both of them to get the ball to score a touchdown. I don't think anybody who's saying that they should change it is just based off what they saw in that game in particular. It's not something that works for every game.
Okay,
let me say saw this game. Quick. And yes, I want Josh Allen to beat Patrick Mahomes, so I want him to get the ball again, or vice versa.
Okay, we get it, John.
If you really like, they had 13 seconds to stop Patrick Mahomes. You gave up the field goal to tie the game. Guess what? It's going to overtime. You get what you get. Stop them. You get 60 minutes to score more. That's it.
Okay. Now here's my fine. I can get a breath in and talk.
No, sorry.
I agree about stopping. That's what you got to do is stopping. Am I for changing the rules? No. But kind of like Justin said, why stop it, period? Keep it going. Why have a coin toss?
Chiefs scored,
so it's the Bills' turn. Let the Bills try what's going on. I mean, you know, kind of give it a somewhat of a chance if you're going to change it. No, I don't want a chance. But also, let's not sit here, number one defense system. I get it. That is thrown around. But let's not sit here. Patrick Mahomes is a different beast, just like this comment says, in the playoffs. Is he not?
So we're going to change it based on who's playing?
No, I'm just saying. You're saying, like, Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback.
The top two quarterbacks
in the league played against each other. Did they not?
If you keep going, that game would have ended up having an NBA score. Because the defenses were awful.
Listen, that's why the game would have never ended.
I get Patrick Mahomes is a beast, the best quarterback in the league, blah, 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 blah. I get it. I understand. If you watch the game, they literally refuse to even put a hand on a Hall of Fame tight end. Travis Kelce wasn't catching these in triple coverage, right? Like, he was literally wide open. This is not, like, about Patrick Mahomes. They literally left this dude wide open.
We get that. And that's got to be a part of the Chiefs' offense. The Chiefs had so
many. Is that why we changed overtime rules?
What do you mean, though? What are you talking about?
He literally, like, runs.
What are you talking about?
And he's right there.
We know you pay attention to the coach and not other teams. Name me a weapon that the Chiefs don't have. Name me one. Yeah, Tyreek Hill if you don't double coverage.
Bro, these Bills.
Exactly. You don't know.
No,
Tell me what you're supposed to do. Tell me.
Travis Kelce in crunch time ran a hook route, and he literally had three defenders around him, each of them 5 yards away. He was by himself when he caught the pass. He was running the route by himself.
He's literally by himself.
Yeah. So the thing is, at that point, you're either playing a soft zone. Open. You're either playing a soft zone or you're playing man to man, and you basically went and
fake. What does this have to do with the overtime?
The entire route by himself. That's not a scheme. That's
okay, so tell me this. So you're going triple team Kelce and leave Tyreek Hill, who can burn for a touchdown?
We're not even complaining. We're not even arguing.
Exactly. You don't know what you're talking about.
We're not doing anything, though. Dude.
They have the cover Tyreek Hill.
No, they don't.
The guy who changed the game by himself.
We got to reel it back in.
Why himself?
Real quick.
Justin,
literally running the route by himself. Real like quick. He's the only person on the field.
All right, hold on. Timeout. So, timeout. Hey, this is what I have to say to kind of finish the point of the overtime rule, okay? Out of the last last 10 years, there has been 11 overtime playoff games. Okay. The team that has won the coin toss has won 10 out of the 11. So I think it just goes to prove the point that I think like the my point, and I'm not trying to debate this, I think we can move on. But I think that the team that wins the coin toss just goes to prove that, you know, yes, there's an opportunity to stop them, yes. But I think just a fair side where both teams are getting a chance at offense, I think is warranted. And that's my only point.
But did you know before they changed it, the team that lost the coin toss statistically won more before the overtime rules were changed?
Okay.
That's the fact. Where it was sudden death, the team that won the coin toss statistically lost more.
How does that make sense?
It shouldn't, right? You would think that the person that wins it would get it. But the reason why the team that wins the coin toss is because they're going for touchdowns instead of field goals.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I mean, there's no disputing that.
Wait. Did I hear that? What'd you say? You're right. Thank you.
I said you're right on your point. Let's move on.
No, that's fine. None of this stuff matters to me, so it's fine.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, this is exciting. Normally, I'd just
be got like, hot. Hey, got hot here.
But you know what? No, this is good. I like this. This is amazing. This
chat's blowing up right now, though.
Yeah, no,
there's no one watching. What are you talking about?
Are you kidding me?
This is our best show. Saying that. You're gonna stop saying that. All right. It said, "Who's gonna stop Tariq Hill? And you can't double Travis."
Oh no, we can't. Well, we can't open this up again.
Why not? That was amazing.
It's getting too real.
Listen, it's not like we have anything to talk about from any other playoff teams in AFC South. So you know what? By all means, F it. Just keep it going. But other than that, I think did you want to go ahead and just talk about the other games, or did we get all our playoff talk in with
TV? Well, I want to hear Matt and Harish argue about the Bucks Rams game.
Well, I mean, the Rams did everything to do to lose that game. I mean, that was terrible.
Except they won
everything.
Well, they almost lost it, though. Yeah, if it wasn't for Tom Brady.
Yeah,
if Tom Brady was prime goat, Tom Brady, they lose.
Yeah, except nobody on the Bucks decided to play over the top and just let Cooper Kupp run down the field.
Right.
For 50 yards.
Right. Now that is.
It was like he was running the route by himself, all over again. Like, there's no.
Why don't you play the safety deep on that one?
I don't know. Why did they triple team him?
They should have had the goat Tom Brady in there for coverage.
Jesus Christ.
Well, and by the way, I do want to say I'm surprised that Sam didn't want to jump on, being that Jalen Ramsey got burnt terribly by Mike Evans for a touchdown.
He did.
I thought that she'd be on here to gloat, but you know, I think she just missed the goal.
Well, Cooper Kupp burnt Winfield tremendously too.
There was
Cooper Kupp burnt a lot of people.
He's done that a lot this year.
I don't know how he can.
Well, I had a question. What do you guys think? Should he have been the MVP? That's what I think. Is it Cooper Kupp or?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah. That's kind of how I feel.
Unreal year.
Like it feels to me that like Aaron Rodgers is going to get it like by default, and at that point, it just sort of feels like what does like somebody other than a quarterback have to do to win MVP? If Rodgers,
what Cooper Kupp did,
but it feels like Rodgers is going to get it though.
No, Cooper Kupp should win it because I mean,
really,
Aaron Rodgers is good during the regular season,
right?
But I mean,
I guess we don't know. It hasn't been announced, but from what I could tell, like it seemed as though Aaron Rodgers was the one who was like going to get it.
That's the consensus on Twitter, I think. Yeah.
So if we're talking about yearly awards then, because I want to get you guys' opinion. After Saturday's game, Coach of the Year, Vrabel or Zach Taylor?
Well, are you asking about like
– It still has to be.
That's what I'm saying. It has to be like – because like these yearly awards are done at the end of the season, not after the divisional round, right?
Right. They're not including the playoffs, right?
The voting takes place before the playoffs begin.
They just don't announce them.
But do you want me to take Saturday into consideration then?
Yeah.
Well, then, if we're going to be results oriented, whoever wins the Lombardi Trophy is going to be coach of the year.
You're going to take it from a season. I don't think you can take it from
regular season only.
Yeah, even, I was gonna say,
even
if we're going
to take regular season, You got to give it to Zach Taylor, right? I mean, he completely turned this team around.
I really liked the Vrabel twist just because of being able to go 12-5 with all of those injured players and moving people in and out of that roster consistently. I can give that award. But again, the Coach of the Year award is the one that I can never really figure out, because a lot of times it goes to like the guy who, like, sort of like Cincinnati, takes the team from like last to first, or like it's kind of like, it's different each year, and it just kind of goes off a feel. And it seemed as though Vrabel was like the person who was going to get it. Like, that seemed to be the consensus at the end of the year, just because of what they did with being everyone being hurt and still getting the one spot.
Yeah. They had why the fuck am I? You know what?
I honestly don't care.
Who why am I defending the Titans?
I honestly don't care who wins Coach of the Year. Listen. I feel those awards, like, I couldn't care less about those awards. There's only one thing I care about, and that's the Super Bowl. Like, if your player wins MVP and they lose the Super Bowl, which happens every year, the last time I believe it happened was '99 with Kurt Warner. I don't think you really care. Yeah. Like, because the Super Bowl is the only thing that should matter. And so, like, it's nice to have those personal awards. Like, if you're a fan of the Packers and Rodgers wins MVP the night before the Super Bowl, are you really going to care that much? I can't imagine you're going to.
To answer your question, I think it should be Vrabel over Taylor, because
anyway, sorry, I got off the
rush. No. Yeah. I the only reason I'm against Taylor is that if Joe Burrow didn't have a superstar year, they would still be sitting where they were last year.
I think he's going to have many more of those.
I agree. Yeah. And I think and what kind of defines Coach of the Year is having your star player go down and not lose games.
Well, that's also the thing that Vrabel. Coach of the Year, like, the people who have like those superstar players, there's a reason why Matt LaFleur, I don't think, ever is going to win Coach of the Year while he has Aaron Rodgers, is because they give credit to the superstar player. So like Zach Taylor is like, Joe Burrow is going to count against Zach Taylor getting Coach of the Year. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, it feels like there's a reason why Belichick didn't get those many Coach of the Year awards. And I think it was just because people weren't, it's like, oh, we've seen all this before. Like, you're not doing anything different for us.
Well, yeah. Coach of the Year is generally going to be like the guy who like over excel or kind of exceeded expectations
or overcome.
Belichick, because he's not going to go up on the ESPYs and give any type of inspirational speech or NFL honors.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's not going to make for good material. So I mean,
it's a weird, these are weird subjective awards that it's just, I don't know. It just, if I'm going to predict, I would say Vrabel's the one who gets it. But you give it to Zach Taylor, you could give it to Chris Jackson for all I care.
Hey man, good job, Chris. Nice, good work.
Yeah.
Like, I know. There's just something about having 91 players and still finishing the one seed.
Yeah,
that is just like that's overcoming odds.
And I love Vrabel. I love him as head coach.
No, fuck like that having, guy. Yeah. But that's just overcoming odds.
I love Vrabel. I love having him. But how many Coach of the Year awards he gets doesn't matter to me. How many Super Bowls he gets is what matters to me. He better start chopping off that dick, because the Super Bowl chances aren't coming.
You know what? It's crazy you beat me to the punch, because I was going to ask you, do you think that he does it now?
But I believe when people have asked me, I said, yes, I too would chop off Frank Vrabel's dick for a Super Bowl.
So who wins Defensive Player of the Year?
Was it is it Parsons? Was he the...
No, I think TJ Watt.
TJ Watt.
I think Parsons gets Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Rookie, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Do they do one for each league, like AFC, NFC, or is it just one total?
No, it's rookie and then one. Yeah, it's like rookie defensive player, rookie offensive player, and then
Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And comeback player got to be Joe Burrow. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's usually the injury person that comes back.
Yeah. Because he got bad, and then they came back and won the AFC North. So, yeah. All right. So then, with that being said, I know that we've had such an invigorating conversation this evening.
Well, the Packers-Niners game was pretty interesting too, wasn't it? We didn't even talk about that.
That was actually a very interesting game, and Aaron Rodgers shit the bed.
Hey, by the way, people, be prepared, because this is probably going to go about 2 hours.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know we were supposed to wrap up here. I'm sorry.
No, we're not. I don't think we're supposed to wrap up, But then again, I don't know, because I know we have limited space on the server for editing and all that other good stuff.
That's like, Sam's problem.
We'll figure that out. Yeah, we'll figure that
okay,
out.
No, it actually is my problem today, so fuck you guys. It's time to end. All right,
let's get going.
So Packers Niners people, how bad was the Packers special team?
How bad was the Packers everything?
Who is Aaron Rodgers blaming for this loss?
Himself, he should.
No. Who is he actually blaming for it? Oh. He never blames himself.
Oh, true. Probably everybody else.
He's been super candid, like, ever since that game, which like, makes sense.
What drove us to create?
What in the hell are you watching, Kareem? What in the Discovery Channel is going on over there?
That wasn't me.
He wasn't great, but he wasn't terrible. He was 20 for 29. 225 yards.
I think that my friend and dad, they're both really big Packers fans, so we like to talk about it a lot. And the thing that my dad has said is that what Green Bay did in this game and what they've done a lot this year is they play with their food too long. They sort of like get off to a pretty good start. They don't really put the game away until the fourth quarter. It's always kind of close. And he says that's going to burn them because they just sort of flirt with it. You know what I mean? It's like a cat that caught the mouse, but they just toss it around too much. They don't just finish it off. And that really kind of burned them in this one. They scored a touchdown the first drive, and then like that is it.
So that Niners team is also really good. Like that defense, talking about good defensive lines. And they have a lot of depth, right? It's not just like four guys on that defensive line. They've got a handful of guys that can play.
It's also the fact that I think D'Amico Ryans, former Texans great, I think it's just like has done a fantastic job with that defense, because I think they ranked top 10 in passing defense, rush defense. I mean, overall, the defense is really, really good. But I mean,
the special teams really is what saved the day.
For the
Niners.
Francisco, because I was about to say, because I mean, Green Bay, they didn't do them any favors. But also, I think when you're looking at this game, it's the fact that once again, Aaron Rodgers, being the guy who's been in the debates for being one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, has once again, even though he had a good game, it wasn't a great game to make sure that he propels the team.
I've been such a harsh critic of his, like all last season when he's been criticizing them not like bringing in enough talent or whatever. And like they intercepted Tom Brady 3 times in that NFC Championship game and got 0 points off of this. Aaron Rodgers should take blame for that, and he shouldn't be blaming the front office. And I don't know what's going to happen this season if he's just, okay, I'm out. But like what's up, buddy?
Tell me if I'm wrong, though. You got to give a credit, like saying D'Amico Ryans and all that. Your leading receiver was your running back with 129 yards. I mean, you got to give that credit to the Niners. I mean,
I give the Niners all the credit in the world for keeping him in check.
Unless you're the Colts, there's no way you're winning a game with your running back catching 129 yards, 10 catches.
Well, in the AFC, you're not winning any games without a good QB, so and some receivers. So, yeah.
So then, just for shits and giggles, where does Aaron Rodgers go? Does he ride off into the sunset? Where does he go?
Justin knows. Very excited. He's got inside info.
No. I don't
breaking
know.
Breaking news.
but I did see this that I thought was very enticing. I think for both sides, right? It was a trade. And it was the Broncos get the Packers' first round pick. Packers get the Broncos' first round pick and Jerry Jeudy for Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, because the Broncos would have to sign them at that point to extend them. I thought it was
But what would the Packers do at QB?
Well, I mean, they got Jordan Love now, and they have plenty of opportunity now.
You can't feel good with what you saw out of Jordan Love, though.
I don't give a shit. It's not my team, but my point. I think my point is that it gives them free agency, and like you guys saying, the bidding war for the Derek Carrs, the Russell Wilson, it gives them an opportunity now to figure out their future instead of
Deshaun Watson.
Is that enough?
There is also it feels as though Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams are linked in their fates.
I agree.
Probably lose Davante Adams if you lose Aaron Rodgers.
Well, you do. He said he's not coming back next year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why not get something out? Why not get some draft picks for both of them? They both said they're not coming. So, why not?
So
I don't know draft wise. I just thought it was very enticing and very.
And it felt as though like Rodgers was like back in, and I had said that they'll probably stay, but I was anticipating them going to the Super Bowl. So now I'm right back to being like, oh, I don't know, he's probably gone. So I haven't thought about it too much.
If they're as sold on Jordan Love as they believe they are, then, I mean, I absolutely see them potentially pulling the trigger. But, I mean, it's kind of like terribly ironic that you would go and trade away Aaron Rodgers and then finally get a wide receiver.
Do they have to trade it, or didn't he rework it so that he could go as a free agent this year?
So the latest of his contract, signed the contract, was that basically he got the majority of that money up front, and then the rest of it was kind of like incentive based, according to like stats.
I thought he had like reworked it so that like he could just like opt out and leave on his own volition this year.
Which I think it's a deal that makes sure that the Packers aren't necessarily in a crunch. I mean, technically they're going to be in a crunch because they have a lot of guys that they're going to have to pay defensively, and they're going to have a lot of moves that they're going to need to make on that end. But I mean, you know, at this point, I think everything lies on what they do with Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers could take a team-friendly deal, or he could just leave and say, you know what, I'm just going to go somewhere where they're potentially going to draft the first round wide receiver, or draft the wide receiver first round, instead of the only offensive weapon that you drafted in the first round in my whole entire tenure here was Jordan Love. Like, I don't see.
Corey Nelson was a first round pick, wasn't he?
He said what?
Wasn't Jordan Nelson?
Who's third or fourth at that?
No, he was a late round pick.
Yeah,
it was a long time ago though.
Devontae Adams was a late round pick. Yep. I think the highest that they have drafted anybody was like in the second. But the thing is, it's just like
Jordy Nelson is before 2010.
Cheeseburger Eddie was a first round pick. He was like 27th.
Cheeseburger Ed.
Cheeseburger Eddie.
Lacy.
He was an anomaly. I mean, I think he might have been the first running back where they put clauses in his contract to make sure like, that he wasn't overweight.
He was right.
The Packers picked Nelson with the 34th pick in the draft, so second round.
But it was a long time ago, though, too.
Yeah.
Like, because he was on that 2010 Super Bowl team, so it's been over 10 years since they've, like, it's a long time.
Yeah. And, I mean, they skipped over a lot of guys. I mean, I think in one draft, they ended up drafting two quarterbacks. I think it was Demarius Randall and Zach Rudolph. And I think they skipped over a couple wide receivers in between there to get those two guys. I think they even traded up to get, like, another corner. And then both of those guys were gone within, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was pretty bad. But, all right, so then, quick answer. Where does Aaron Rodgers end up, Don?
On a beach screwing that girl from Hunger Games or whatever movie she's from.
Sure, let's go with that. All right.
Sounds good.
That's this week.
There is a possibility that he is done with football, too. That seems to be a real possibility.
I don't think he is. I think he's kind of a Tom Brady-ish. I think he's going to go to Denver and try to redo his career, get to the Super Bowl.
All right.
Like Peyton Manning.
Yeah, same. I think Denver. Because we got to remember, they were close to making that trade draft night last year. Mm-hmm. It was very close. Like, almost done, right? So I think he goes to Denver. I think they finished that deal.
Okay, and then, Justin, I think you said it, but I just want to make sure that we've got clarity.
I think it's Denver with Las Vegas being a close second.
Las Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Why not? Both teams are on
the car? Yeah.
I think he'd make a great New York Jet.
They can't give up on great value Zach Efron yet.
Following Brett Favre's footsteps, huh? Going to the Packers, to the Jets.
Would be perfect.
Oh, yeah. No, he's not. His ego would not allow that to happen.
I think his ego would survive that atmosphere, though.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think it's from everybody else.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. And then I don't think we're going too far into that, but Tom Brady. Do we think he tries it out for another year to
absolutely go
do another one? Or
Yes.
So were you unanimous? Yes.
No.
I'll say no just for fun.
Yeah, I think it's contingent on the weapons getting re-signed. Obviously, Antonio Brown being gone and Chris Godwin being a free agent, being hurt. I think if they re-sign those guys and restructure his deal, I do think he comes back. But not necessarily Antonio Brown, but like Chris Godwin and Gronk and all that stuff. I think if they come back, he stays. But I think that if they sign somewhere else, I think that's going to greatly, no offense to Tom Brady, diminish his play. And we saw that in the playoffs, that I don't think he's going to come back and be terrible.
Yeah, I agree. I can see that.
I mean, this was like one of his best years statistically, wasn't it?
It was great.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad by no means at all.
Yeah, no, not at all. I just think when you see how that team kind of broke down, it's just like, yeah, he was still
from what I'm
really
from
well.
What I understand, like someone was saying that like they think that if Tom Brady stops playing, it won't be from the field. It'll be like a home thing. It'll be like he's ready to like call it done for his family.
Sure. That's the easy cop out, right? Yeah. Like, oh shit, all my good players are gone. I can't look like a phenomenal quarterback anymore. So I'm gonna say, oh, my wife wants me home.
my kids are going into middle school. I need to make sure their first day of middle school is good.
Yeah, so, like I don't need like $300,000 to go take them. I'm gonna start doing it.
Hey, the crypto is dropping. You might need to resign.
Yeah, you can't be like Phillip Rivers where you're taking a morning routine where you have to drop off kids at five different schools because you have 11 different kids. Like at some point or another, you're just like, this madness has to end.
Fair.
He might win. I mean, he probably can win the MVP this year. He had a pretty good year.
Who?
Tom Brady.
Right. Yeah, I think it was one of his better statistical years.
Yeah, 5,300 yards. 43 touchdowns and 12 interceptions.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like for some reason, I feel like Aaron Rodgers is locking the line already.
Yeah.
As long as he had less interceptions. He only had four.
It should have been Cooper Kupp.
Which is insane.
And still in the single digits in interceptions, I think there's nothing that you can say.
Kirk Cousins only had six, though, and he had more touchdowns than Aaron Rodgers.
You heard it. Kirk Cousins, the GOAT.
How about that?
Ass.
Is he still in when's his contract up?
In 10 years. Like,
oh, okay. I couldn't remember with him.
Wait, I thought Kirk Cousins was easier.
Isn't he Mormon too?
I don't know.
I just want nothing to do with Kirk Cousins, and we're already linked to that fucker. So
yeah, we don't want. Yeah, let's not. Okay, so on that note, this got really somber. All right, people, listen, we're leaving. All right.
Do we predict the games?
Can we? Yeah, let's do game predictions. Rams versus 49ers. This is the third time they're meeting this season because, of course, it's division rivals. Who do we have coming out in this?
The Niners swept them, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll say Rams. Screw it. I know that. Yeah, I think the Niners did sweep them in the regular season because I don't think McVay's beaten Shanahan yet, right?
Correct.
All right. Screw it. Rams. Let's do Rams.
All right. I'm going to say Rams too, just because Matt Stafford is balling too. He's having a hell of a postseason with the actual team. So I say Rams.
It does seem as though they figured out how to use Odell.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it only took a team like fucking 25 years to figure out how to use him.
Yeah, you throw to him. That's what you do.
Wait, you mean he could actually go catch the ball?
Didn't they say he has more touchdowns with the Rams than he had with his entire career in Cleveland, like already?
Embarrassing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He only played like five games.
All right. And then Justin.
I actually do think it's the Rams. They get their first win against the Niners.
All right, Matt.
Yeah, Rams.
Yeah, I think we've all said Rams.
I'm going Rams.
So
this is an intriguing one.
I'm actually going to go Niners.
Oh, going Niners?
Yeah.
You're gonna buck the trend.
I'm doing pretty good. I'm 7-for-8 on my picks this year. Or no, 7. What is it? I went 6-for-6 last week, and then the only game I got wrong was the Packers one last week. I'm doing pretty good.
I just really like that defensive line, so I'm just gonna sucker myself into just that and be wrong because that defensive line is just insane.
Out of the NFC, I really don't care who wins. Either team.
I don't care who wins out of any of them at this point.
So then we move on to AFC. So Chiefs and Bengals meeting for the second time this season after the Bengals.
Do they double cover Jamar Chase?
Jamar Chase put up near 300 yards on the defense. Who do we have winning this one?
Kansas City.
Chiefs.
Who do I want to win? Who do I think is going to win? Because I want the Bengals to win because I like the underdogs. But
I want something new, so I'd like.
I like the Bengals to win. Yeah. I just don't see it.
I don't want. I don't need to see everyone drooling over Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl again.
The Chiefs have too many weapons. Like, I mean, you got to pick your poison when it comes to their offense. So it's the Chiefs.
Yeah. I think it's going to be the Chiefs, but I think it's going to be closer than what people think it's going to be because there's a lot of hurt players in that secondary from Sorensen to they had a corner that went down. Tyrann Mathieu got a concussion. So I think it's going to be a lot closer, but I'm not going to discount like the weapons that are on the Chiefs offense.
Well, and everybody is saying that the Bengals defense is terrible, but what they don't realize, you know what team is right behind the Bengals in rankings? That's the Chiefs defense. They're one ranking behind it. So the Chiefs defense ain't that great either. So.
All right. 86 to 85, Chiefs.
How many overtimes does it go to?
Well, you know, this time somebody will semi play defense, so he might have six.
So I'm going to go and buck the trend, and I'm going to say Bengals. I'm going to say Bengals are going to win this game by a very, very narrow margin. So I think the Chiefs are probably going to win, yeah, but you know what? I want to see the Bengals do it. I want to see the Bengals do it. I want to see the Bengals do it, and I want
to
see –
You got nothing to lose.
I want
to
really tell.
I want to see Mahomes' fiance and Jackson Mahomes cry.
Pop that champagne bottle?
Yes, that was awful. They said they want her banned from games.
Like, I'm kind of disappointed in Bills Mafia for not hitting Jackson Mahomes with the dildo. Like, come on, guys. You hit him in the forehead or something.
Hey, listen, they were probably at security checking all those Bills fans persons to make sure they weren't.
Yeah.
So yeah, I they made sure that they didn't because that would have been out recorded in 4K on somebody's phone. And then they would have said it was a hate crime. But you know what? That's neither here nor there. Guys,
It is a hate crime because I hate that kid.
There you go. Okay. And you know what? That's good. We all do. We all do. But all right. So I think that's all that we have for this evening. If it's not, then it's going to have to be because this was complete insanity. But I appreciate you guys for it because this was amazing. All right. So then with that being said, just a couple things. Make sure that you join Prize Picks. Matt, can you kind of break it down a little bit better? Because I know there's certain words I'm not supposed to use, and somehow I managed to almost use them anyway. So I like the way you describe it. Go ahead.
It's a daily fantasy. Instead of picking players, you pick the over and under. Like, is Patrick Mahomes going to throw over 225? Of course, he does all the time. So easy money. Hurries, myself, Roach in the group, we all played it and we all won some pretty easy money. All you got to do is enter FBSN for Fan Battle Sports Network. They match your offer up to $100. So, like I said, you want easy money. And let's be honest, DraftKings and FanDuel just get overplayed. So, something new, layout's easy. Check it out.
All right. Thank you for that because I would have ruined it. All right. So I do appreciate that. And guys, I know that, you know, some of you are kind of grifting, kind of off the grid when it comes to not having social media. So, John, we don't have to go into it. We know that you have an OnlyFans, unfortunately.
You follow me at Bearded Guns.
All right. So follow you at Bearded Guns. And Justin, can we also follow you at Bearded Guns?
Yes. Yeah, you can find me at Bearded Guns. Hashtag don't hire Byron Leftwich.
That's rude.
Oh.
That's rude. All right. Harish, what about yourself?
You can find me at Uncle Gandhi.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, so you can find Harish and John at the Uncle Gandhi.
Anything that you want to say to me, you can send right to that account.
and he'll reply right to it.
Exactly.
Pretty much immediately, actually.
It probably would be the same sentiment, too.
Actually, might be pretty equal.
And then, Mac, where can the people find yourself?
John, no, nothing.
I can't remember. It changes too often.
It changes too much.
I was waiting for it, but I knew I was like,
it's canceled Tim Kelly.
I canceled Tim Kelly. All right, and then
Don. CJ Colts fan.
Yes, at CJ Colts fan for John and myself. Apparently he shares social media accounts.
As you guys are running mine.
Get the ire for that.
Dan, did Utah just open up social media?
That's against my religion.
Oh, apparently not.
Listen, you can say that's against your religion, but you once broadcasted from a seedy hotel in Ohio under official government.
I was meeting my second wife. Stop it.
We're trying to keep things hush hush.
All right. And then also, please make sure that you tune in. We're generally, I think, are we going to Mondays now, Matt? Are we sticking Sundays?
Yes, Mondays.
Going to Mondays. Okay, so moving forward, AFC South Fan Battle will be on Mondays. Same bat time, same bat place. Okay? And you can also check the byproducts of said AFC South Fan Battle podcast, the You Don't Know Jack podcast, which is the Colts Fan Battle on Tuesday at 9, and then the Texans Fan Battle podcast on Wednesday, right, Matt? Or are you Thursday?
Wednesday. All right.
Wednesday.
Whenever.
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 Wednesday or whenever. But yeah, make sure that you go and tune in. Other than that, people, it's been
great. When do I get to go on You Don't Know Jack?
Never.
You know what? I think we might be able to arrange that only
for I love commenting on it.
Yes, I know you do. And I see you in the comments. I shout you out, okay? All right.
Why don't we have a Titans one that says Manning's time?
Do you know how hard it is to get Titans spin on this one?
True. Well, John can go solo. He can do a solo project.
And also,
negative. That's my only fans.
It's so many negative reviews because of the negative outlook.
don't forget the Jaguars have one dropping called
I'm in River
City Cats podcast. So. Make sure you keep an eye on that one.
Which one is that? Was that one Todd? That's
Justin and who else?
No, that's Justin.
Gonna be on there.
Oh, okay.
That's going to be me and Todd working together on that baby. So.
Oh, that's your bad time.
Not safe for work, ladies and gentlemen. Not safe
so,
for work.
It will be the podcast version of the hot tub in the stadium because that is going to be all types of crazy as shit.
Yes.
All right. Yes. Correct.
We'll be tuning in. But yes, thank you, people. We will see you next Monday. Thank you for tuning in. And other than that, you can go ahead and contact John on everybody's social media. So you have a great evening, and we will see you guys next week.
Peace.
I stay repping for the slums where the young bucks love to load it up just to bust rounds. Steady having flashbacks. Dirty cash in the clan wraps. I used to cook it like a lab rat. Bag of 50 slabs asking junkies where the cash at. Steady booming off of two phones.